I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Now, with the remainder of our time, I want to share with you a short message. Amen. Continue. The title of my message today is Three Goals of a Shepherd. Three Goals of a Shepherd. Now, this is the year of the shepherd. Amen. This is a year where we all are going to become shepherds, because as we've been sharing in the previous messages from the beginning of the year, the way to show your love for Jesus is to become a shepherd. This is according to Jesus himself. Amen. John chapter 21. And verse 17, John chapter 21, from verse 15 actually, the Bible says, when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Amen. Number 16, he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Okay. Then the next one. Next one. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Amen. Now, obviously, Jesus was trying to ask Peter to show his love for him by feeding his sheep. Amen. Now, what do we call the person who does that job? A shepherd. So, in other words, Jesus was telling Peter that the way you show your love for me is by becoming a shepherd. Amen. And as Jesus was going over it and saying it over and over again, Peter was starting to be bothered by the repetition and was starting to be irritated by it, you know. And yet Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about. You know, sometimes, especially when parents are correcting younger people, you know, they tend to feel that the same thing is being overemphasized, you see. But when you're a young person, you have to understand that your father or mother doesn't get paid to talk. They don't get anything from saying something over and over and over again, except that the reality is you don't seem to get it. And when people don't get things, they often don't realize they don't get it. Do you see? Yeah, because Jesus said, by their fruits you know them. So it's not rocket science to know what you get and what you don't get. What you do or don't do is evidence of what you get or you don't get. Does it make sense? What you do or you don't do is proof often of what you understand or don't understand. And that often attracts and makes certain things have to be repeated and said over and over again. And so instead of getting irritated by hearing the same thing over and over again, rather humble yourself. Amen. Everybody's so quiet. Why? What did I say something wrong? Should I change the subject? Okay, how to get money quickly. Okay, we're changing the subject. How to get money, how to become a millionaire by tomorrow night. Should I continue on the same subject? Okay, so I'm saying that instead of getting irritated and saying that the same thing is being said to you over and over again, rather, humble yourself and recognize the emphasis as a message or as an attempt to underscore the importance of what is being repeated. Do you see what I'm saying? That they are trying to let you understand that what is being repeated is something you can't afford to miss in your life. Can I have an amen? Amen. Yes. I think that most parents can predict what marital problems their children will have. Do you see what I'm saying? If you are nice, when you're going to marry someone, if you are nice to their parents, they might give you a clue or two. Do you see? Because a lot of people even know they are sending a bomb into somebody's life. Yeah. They know that this person who is going there, I tell you, they'll be surprised if you survive. But you have to go. So they just coolly package you nicely. And then they send you to the house. And they are waiting quietly in their house, hoping that all is well. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So do not be irritated when something is being repeated to you. Rather, you should calm down and try to understand what the repetition means. Because the repetition either means what is being said is so important, or it means that your lifestyle is betraying you. It's telling you and it's telling everybody what you don't know. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. That the way you are living, because you can't hide your wisdom often. You can't hide your understanding often. A child cannot pretend to be an adult. You see, it won't take a long time before you realize this is a child. Sometimes when children are acting, plays, they make some of them into parents. And you can see even the size of the shirt he's wearing. Because this is a little boy like Senna trying to be his father. So they've put one of Pastor Charles's suits on him. You get it? And when he appears in the suit, do you get it? When you see the jacket that is reaching his feet, you know that he can't pretend for long that this is a child trying to be an adult. Are you following what I'm saying? So you can't easily hide what you don't know. Your ignorance always betrays itself. It's always there. So as is being said, rather keep quiet and listen. Do you understand? So what Peter should have been doing here, when Jesus said, "Do you love me?" You see, and he said, "Yes, I do, Lord." Then he said, "Feed my lambs." Then he asked him a second time, "Do you love me?" Then he said, "Yeah, Lord." Then he said, "Feed my sheep." Then when he asked him a third time, instead of saying, "Lord," you know, the answer he gives, he said, "Okay, now you know, you tell me, thou knowest, you tell me, whatever you, the definition of love, whatever, you know, you, thou knowest, I won't answer, you tell me, because as far as I'm concerned, I love you." And then Jesus repeats it. Rather, Peter should have been humbly meditating on what Jesus was trying to tell him. That perhaps Jesus was telling him something very important. That the way you show your love for me is by caring for the people that I died for. Hallelujah. And very, if you take the average Christian, they mostly do not think that, look, they have any responsibility towards other Christians. Do you see? Most Christians assume that all that the Lord expects from them is their own relationship with Him, and that's it. So many Christians only care about themselves, and that's what it is. You see, it's like I'm struggling with my own Christian life. I can't come and add you. If you come to church, it's up to you. If you don't come, it's up to you. If you come, we meet. If we don't meet, too bad. I'm just minding my own business. Most Christians have that attitude. And they have selected according to their own religious inclinations what looks like love to them. So some have selected offering. Do you see? And some have selected singing. I mean, sometimes you go to church and you sit by someone who is a believer in singing as a way to show love. Hey, and if the song lands, you get it. Because you go to church, a number of songs are sung, but everybody gets to pick a favorite. Yes, and then when their favorite song is being sung, hey, that's when you hear their classic soprano. And they start to sing the song, release a voice. Is that it? You know, yes. If you have some of these older aunties and so on, and even uncles, they start to sing bass. You know, because the song has landed. This is one of the hymns they love. And they sing it. They sing it and they add, you know, a shake. Tremolo. And they add it, you see, and the whole song is singing. And they think that that is love. Some people choose giving. And they think that giving in the church is love. Giving in the church is great. But it is not the ultimate proof of love. Hallelujah. Yes, when you love, you give. That is true. Hallelujah. But it's not the only proof of love. Hallelujah. It's not the only. Some people give small amounts and God looks at it and says there's more love here than someone who gave even a larger amount. Jesus did that. The Bible says he was in the church one day and a woman came to give. You know, everybody was giving. The Bible says he was watching as you know, people were giving their offerings. And when the rich people had given their offerings, he whispered to the disciples that this poor woman has given more money than anybody here. You know, and I'm sure everybody was just wondering, how can this poor woman, you know, Jesus, let's get real, you know. This poor woman cannot give more money than all these people, you see. But Jesus looked at it a certain way because it's often not about how much per se a person is giving. But if you like, it's how much is left after the person has given. Wow. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, that is what shows the true value of what the person has given. Many of us give things that mean nothing. Even if you lose it, you won't feel it. The money that you put in the offering, if you lost it on your way home, it won't be. You won't even come back to look for it. If you were in an Uber and you realized on your way out, you left $10 outside here, you know, and you've reached the freeway, you may not come back to look for it. Because your mind is that this won't change my life. Do you see what I'm saying? But you want God to look at it and make that money the subject of a major change in your life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So when it comes to giving, it's a complex way to prove your love. So the safest thing to do is to go by what Jesus said. Because he is the recipient of the love. He is the one who is being loved. And what he says constitutes love to him must be your top priority. Yes, in addition to all the other ways of showing love. Yes, but what he says is love is what. He had three opportunities. So he could have said, do you love me? Number one, feed my lambs and sheep. Then do you love me? Number two, give big, big offerings. Then number three, do you love me? Sing your favorite hymns every Sunday morning. He had the option to vary what constitutes love. But given three opportunities, his answer was the same. Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Or feed my lambs, feed my sheep, and feed my sheep. So if you're a Christian following Jesus, attempting to love him, one of the things that must get on your priority list is somebody to feed. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. By all means, you must try to be someone that others look up to for their feeding, even if it's one person. Amen. You start from somewhere. But there must be someone who looks up to you to do well in their relationship with the Lord. Can I have an amen? Amen? There are so many of us who have so much to give just by virtue of how long you've been a Christian, how long you've been in the church, how many sermons you've heard, how much preaching you've been exposed to, that by now you ought to be a teacher. Because according to Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12, there is a time when you ought to be a teacher. It says, a time when you ought to be a teacher, isn't it? Yeah. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Which means at least, you are supposed to be able to teach the first principles of the oracles of God. You're supposed to be able to explain to someone what it means to be born again. These are the first principles of the oracles of God. What does it mean to be saved? Why must we even go to church every Sunday? Hebrews 10:25, not neglecting the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. This is something you should be able to explain convincingly to someone. Just by virtue of how long you have been in the faith. Hallelujah. One of the first principles of the oracles of God is having a daily quiet time. Reading your Bible and praying every day is basic and it is fundamental to Christianity. Yes. Hallelujah. You don't have to be a pastor to do that. To read a little portion of the Bible every day, you must be able to explain it. You must be able to explain Joshua 1:8, where the Bible says, this book of the law must not depart from your mouth. It says, you must meditate therein day and night, isn't it? So you may be sure to obey all that is written in it. Only then will you succeed. Only then will you succeed. Only then will you succeed. So why are you backsliding? It's probably because you're not doing this. Are you getting what I'm saying? And it doesn't require the pastor. The pastor does not have to be the one to say this. Anybody who has been in the Lord for some time ought to be able to show others how to be in the Lord for as long as they have. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. And he says, this book of the law, let's read from the King James. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, right? Then it says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You see, you are supposed to form a habit out of reading the Bible day and night. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Do you see? For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Amen. So the Bible says you will make your way prosperous. So perhaps sometimes as we pray to the Lord for prosperity, he's just wondering, hey, you know, you are supposed to make your way prosperous. I've already shown you the way. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, I've already shown you the way. It's like your Uber arrived and you remain sitting in the back. And the driver just looks at you. It's like, what next? It's like you're expecting him to come around and come and open the door to let you out. And he's just thinking, hey. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like you should be able to do this by now. You should be able to do this yourself. So the Bible is showing us, God has given us a prescription in Psalm 1. It says, blessed is the man, Psalm 1, verse 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, right? And the next verse, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, right? And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, what is going to happen? What's the result of this lifestyle? He said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And then his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Wow. Yeah. You could run a successful business on this one. You could open a little kiosk on Hollywood Boulevard and say how to succeed with everything that you do. And people will be coming into the window and you take their palm and you read this verse. Yeah, you just take the person's palm and then you read this verse. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Whatever you do shall prosper. It's right there in the Bible. And it doesn't take the pastor to teach this. Anybody who has been in the Lord for some time ought to be able to teach this. When you start to do this, then you are beginning to show love in a currency that Jesus understands. You are beginning to show love to Jesus in the way that... And it is because people matter to Jesus. He died for us. He gave his life for us. When you give your life for something, that something must matter to you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Right. So back to my point, just 2-3 points real quick. Number one, when you become a shepherd, now you have three goals that every shepherd must have. Number one is that every shepherd must desire to become a good shepherd. Right? You must desire to become a shepherd. So when you become a shepherd, then you begin to see that there are grades and shades in shepherding. Hallelujah. Isn't it? A shepherd is like a color. You see, all blue is not the same. Isn't it? Yeah. There's blue and there's blue and there's blue and there's blue. Do you see what I'm saying? Right. So a shepherd must have three goals. The first goal is that you want to be a good shepherd. Not just a shepherd, but a good one. Hallelujah. Yes, because in everything, there are good ones and there are bad ones. Isn't it? Have you sat in a car where the driver is a bad driver before? But he's a driver. He has a license. You can't dispute that. You can't. The government says he can drive. You can't fight. There are some people, when they drive you need faith. You pray the whole time. They make you prayerful. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Because of the way they drive, the way they take off, and the way they stop. You know? As you are approaching the junction, you think something is about to happen. But they have a plan to stop. Yeah. They have a plan to stop. They're just not going to begin when you think it should begin. They come all the way into the intersection and they stop. And when they see you scared, they say, oh, why? So I was planning to stop. Do you see? Yeah. So there are some drivers, when they are driving, you can't even rest. They bring a spirit of anxiety on you. Do you see? Yeah. And you, the passenger, are more stressed than the driver. Yeah. You see? It is because they are not good drivers. But when you have a good driver, you can relax. You just fall asleep. Yeah. And there are some people who fall asleep no matter who is driving. We'll wake up, whether here or in heaven. We'll wake up at some point. Hallelujah. So in the same way, you can have someone who's a shepherd, but he's not a good shepherd. He's not a good shepherd. Now, Jesus gave us the characteristics of a good shepherd. And you find that in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. In John chapter 10 and verse 11. He said, I am the good shepherd. Do you see? I am what? I am the good shepherd. Then he says, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Can you see that? Jesus said the definition of a good shepherd, or the beginning of good shepherding, is giving your life for the sheep. Hallelujah. Giving your life for the sheep. So you're a good shepherd if your shepherding style is like Christ. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. And you're a good shepherd when your pastoring style is like Christ and your fruits are the same as his. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, if you're a good shepherd, one of the things you do is to give your life for the sheep. That means the people you shepherd must benefit from your life. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
You give your life for your sheep. You give your life for the sheep. You give your life for the sheep if you're a good shepherd. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
If you're a good shepherd, you make sacrifices for the sheep. You do things because of the sheep. There are some things you do not because they are right or wrong, but or that it is wrong to do them or right to do them, whatever, but for the sake of the sheep. When you're a shepherd, you don't only think about yourself, but you always think about your effect on the sheep. Do you see what I'm saying? You always think about your effect on the sheep. Because you are giving your life. Your life is supposed to be something that is to guide and to help the sheep get to the place where you are. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It means not too many things can be private anymore. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. It means you're going to have to be a bit more open sometimes. You're going to have to share. You have to entertain people. You have to bring people into your life. You have to make time for people. You have to go out of your way to give people a ride, to pick people up, to wait for people, because you give your life for the sheep. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah? You give your life for the sheep. All of us are who we are just naturally because somebody gave their lives for us. Yeah, someone gave their lives for us. That is true. See, the other day I was watching Innie as she was carrying her baby. You know, the whole thing looked so intense. You see, yeah. And it occurred to me that this is a very serious engagement. Do you see? Because here is this person, she doesn't walk, she doesn't talk, she can't do anything. You get it? So everything she has to do, she needs someone like Innie committed to her. I will carry you everywhere you need to go. I'll give you every single bath you need, and I'll feed you every meal. That's the nature of the commitment. Hey, it's a giving of her life for the sheep. That is what it means. It's serious. Do you see? And there are some people, they literally put their lives on pause. Once you start having children, I tell you, these people are going to follow you. Every plan of yours has to include them. Yes. Every plan of yours has to include them. Everywhere you are going, you have to think about them. Who is going to look after her? What's going to happen to this? What's going to do this? What's going to... You know, there's been this debate in my house about getting a dog, you know. And, you know, we come close to the tip like that. Then we just back off. Yeah. Because I just imagine the commitment. I think about when we're going to camps. What's going to happen to the dog? They said hotel. I said, hey, me, I'm not done sleeping in a hotel. My dog is going to sleep in a hotel now. It's going to be a problem. Do you see the thing? Yeah. I think about camps. What does it mean for traveling? What does it mean for, yes, what do you, because when you see dogs and the excitement there, you're only seeing the happy times. Yeah. What about when the dog is sick? Yes. Yesterday, I saw one of my friends with his dog. He said that the dog is dying now because she has some spinal something. I said, hey, but dog too can have complex sickness like that. How can a dog have such a complex sickness? You see, but it's all real. There is a commitment. There is a commitment. So if you are, that is why Jesus said it's proof of love. Do you see? If it was just down to making phone calls, it would not make this list. But it's a commitment, a total giving of oneself for the well-being of another. And it involves so many things. When you're a shepherd, sometimes you want to help someone to go to church. Sometimes you show up and you see the way they've arranged themselves. There is no plan to go to church. But you want to encourage, because you know church is good. You know they need it. You know, many people want to have a good Christian life without paying the price for a good Christian life. They just don't know the pathway to it. And they need someone to walk them down the road that brings them where they want to be. Do you see? Yeah. And that person is you. So sometimes because of that, you start looking for the person from Friday, Saturday. You're tracking them. You're encouraging them. Because you know how they mess up on Saturday night and Sunday morning. They are all so tired. They will not be around. So you start following them from Wednesday, and you start to follow the movements. Yeah. And you start to discourage certain associations, certain parties, certain, you know. Then you try to do that to preserve them so they can be in church on Sunday. Not for you, for them. For them. Because when your Christian life works out, that's for you. It's not for me. Amen. It is for you. When you get to be close to the Lord, that benefit is to you. It's not to me. But I must love you enough to want you to have that benefit. And must be willing and committed to helping you achieve and realize that benefit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why Jesus said, if you love me, that's what you will do for my sheep. Hallelujah. So he said, a good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Sometimes an example. One of the things shepherds do is to be an example. See, 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. Real quick, please. I'm almost finished. Only 3 points and we're done. He says, no, start from verse 1. He said, the elders which are among you. Can you see that? The elders which are among you. The elders. 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 What does elder mean? Right? You say mature? All right. What else? Been around longer? Been around longer, isn't it? When if I point someone out to you and say, that's my elder brother, what does it mean? It means he was around before me, isn't it? Yeah. Right. Now, can you think, look in the church, can you think of anyone who came after you? Yeah. To that person, you're an elder. Because you say that my elder brother means he was there before me. So anybody who was there before you, to that, it becomes your elder. Do you see what I'm saying? So he says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who I am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now, verse 2. Look at verse 2. He said, feed the flock of God. We said, what name do we give to the people who do that? Shepherds. So it means become a shepherd. Isn't it? Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. So the way you become a shepherd is to take oversight over other people's lives. Sometimes when people are trying to take oversight over our lives, we feel like they are interfering. We feel like they are nosy. We feel like they are being too much. Who has felt that way before? Raise your hand. I mean, you felt that way before. As the pastor was calling you, or they invited you, or they were chatting with you, asking some questions and so on and so forth. It's like, hey, why? Small church I'm trying to attend. Why are you worrying me? Is this like a CIA interview or something? Or is this why do you share green cards in your church? This whole thing is looking like a green card interview. But that's not what is happening. It is just a shepherd or an elder trying to do what? Take oversight. Do you see what I'm saying? To take oversight means to oversee. Do you see? Yeah, to oversee. And some of us need oversight. Some of us need help. You need someone who is looking even into that relationship. You see, that bomb which is about to explode. You see, the other day we were reading an article on, it was on CNN. It was just in the news. A lady was, she had a hobby of picking up shells and stuff at the beach on the shore, isn't it? Then she had gone to, she one day found this weird looking something. So she brought it to her house and she kept it there. Then, I think the thing was quite interesting to her. I don't know how come. She thought it was a what? A plate. Okay. So she brought it to her house. It's like some antique plate that fell from some cruise ship. Do you see? So she brought it to her house and she was just living there with it. I don't know what made her. I don't remember.
Some strange things had been found on the shore, and they were actually mines.
Right. So what happened was that the lady showed it to someone, because based on the news report, so that some people had found something, and when they described what it was, it looked like the thing she had found. You know, not knowing they were unexploded landmines. You see, so what she had brought to her house was an unexploded landmine, which she came to put inside her house, coolly flowing around it as an antique piece or something like that, that she was just showering with love. Yeah. And some of us have landmine boyfriends. And landmine girlfriends that we are showering with love. Yeah. And you need the experience and exposure of an elder brother or an elder sister. Someone who is used to these things. Someone who has been around the block sometimes a little bit and they know a thing or two. Yeah. There are some people, they know how it sounds, how unseriousness sounds. You know, they know it. They just ask you a simple question. So what did he say about this? When they hear the answer, they know, because they've been told something before. They've been there. And when they are guys, they themselves have said that before. Yeah. They themselves have said that before. And you could use one brother telling you, look, don't take this guy seriously. No, it's not real. Look, believe me, this I've said this before. And he will give you the history of it and he will dissect it for you and help you understand what it really means. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it's not supposed to be interference. It's not, nobody gets paid from knowing people's stuff. What do you think? Yeah, there's no benefit from knowing people's stuff. But sometimes it's rather discouraging. Yeah, when you know too many bad stories, you can become negative. Sometimes it becomes a basis of your own fears. Are you listening to my sermon? I'm almost finished. Yes. So sometimes you need someone like that to help you. And you need to allow someone to take oversight. Do you see? What's the verse? Put it back, please. It says, taking the oversight thereof. And it says, not by constraint, not by force, not because anybody is forcing you, or because when the pastor sees you, he'll ask, who did you bring to church? Or he'll ask, you know, what did you do? Did you visit anybody? Not by any such force. Do you see? But willingly, willingly, I want to do it. I want to do it. Shout amen, somebody. Amen. Yeah. Willingly, willingly, you are willing to take oversight over someone's life. Then it says, not for filthy lucre. That means not for what you get out of them. So if they forget your birthday and they didn't bring a card, you say, that's it. No more phone calls to this person. No more rights. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. They didn't give me this. They didn't do that for me. Too bad. He says, but of a ready mind. Of a ready mind means of your own initiative. Do you see? You just want to do it. I just want to help you. I just want to help you. Have you met someone who has such an interest in your life? You just wonder, what is it? What is the reason for it? Raise up your hand if you have experienced such a thing before. Yeah. It's like, why is this person so interested in me? Hey, why? Said they want to come and visit me. Why? Yeah. Is everything okay? Because sometimes you don't find yourself worthy of such attention. Yes. But I want you to know that there are real, genuine people in the house of God who have a genuine, unpaid, unrewarded, not for reward interest in your life. There are real, genuine people like that. In that, they are just trying to be good shepherds. Yeah. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
And they'll risk their life for you,
yeah,
because they are trying to be good shepherds. And look at the next verse. It says, next verse, verse 3. It says, neither as being lords over God's heritage. It's not like they are trying to boss you around. Do you see? But being examples to the flock. See? That's what I wanted to get to, by being an example to the flock. So there are some things you do for the sake of being an example. Do you get it? Yes. And there are some things you don't do for the sake of being an example. Not because you have to move at the shepherd level, you move from what is wrong with it. No. That's not the question we are asking. It's true, there's nothing wrong with it. But if every one of the sheep copied you, are you getting the picture? Yeah, if every one of the sheep did exactly what you're doing, can you imagine where it will land them? So there are some things you do, even when you're raising children, there are some things you do for the sake of example, so that you can be a good example to them, because you may do this and get away with it, but if they did the same thing, they might lose their lives for it. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes, for the sake of example. When my kids were learning how to drive, you know, then I had to, you know, you see. When you've been driving for some time, you know how it goes. Do you see? We all have ways Do you see the thing? Yeah. We all have ways. Sometimes you just drive, especially when you're playing some music and it's good. You get it. Then you hand over the steering to your laps. Who has done that before? You see it? Yeah. And then you start going in, you know, and the music is going. Now imagine that the guy who's learning how to drive. Oh, this is how to drive. This is a guy who hasn't yet figured out which one is the brake pedal and which one is the accelerator. Now he's adding dancing to it. Because that's what his teacher is doing. Are you following what I'm saying? So there are some things you don't do just for the sake of being an example. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
Yeah, just for the sake of being an example. That's why I wouldn't leave my wife at home and go sit in some restaurant with some sheep. Sheep says. You know, sit in the corner in one of the booths. You get it, where the waiters don't visit so often. And just be out there in the corner and speak undertone, you know. And say, baby, the Bible says. You get it. It seems baby and Bible don't really go together. Do you see? Yeah. And then I'll just be there and just having a good time. Then in comes Leah. And Leah is just passing by. Was that apostle? Was that apostle I saw? And she comes to say hello. I said, oh, Leah, meet my cousin. Do you see? You think she's going to believe it? Yeah, and maybe that's my cousin. But she would not believe it. So there are some things. So when I have to take my cousin out to the dinner, I have to take my cousin out in a way that when Leah sees it, do you get it? She will not be confused. So I am forfeiting a right I have. Because I have a right to go out with my cousin and sit at the last booth in any restaurant and eat what we want and speak at whatever volume we choose. Don't you think it's my right? It's my God-given human right. But to avoid confusion in Leah's mind, there are things I will intentionally skip. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. There are some things you don't do, not because they are right or wrong, but because sometimes it's because of who is known to do them. Do you follow what I'm saying? Who is associated with this behavior? What kind of person does this? And you avoid doing it, not because it's wrong. It's okay, there's nothing wrong with it, but because it is so popular among a certain group. You try to avoid it because you want to be a good shepherd. That's what it means to lay down your life for the sheep. And Jesus said, a good shepherd will do that. A good shepherd will do that. Look at the next verse. Not this one. The other verse. John chapter 10 and verse 12. John chapter 10 and verse 12. John chapter 10 and verse 12. He says, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd. An hireling is someone who is doing it for pay. You see, who is not a real shepherd. Someone, you know, when you do something for pay, it's not voluntary. It means you've been asked to do it. You are required to do it. Do you get it? So when you have someone who is shepherding you because it is a requirement, he's been asked to do it. If he doesn't call you and he gets into the church, they're going to ask him whether he called you or not. And he doesn't want to lie. So he's calling you just to fulfill. You get it? Yes. You know, sometimes you're calling someone and you wish it will go to voicemail. Because you really don't want to talk to him. But you need the call to register. So when you call and it goes to voicemail, you say, praise the Lord. Then you prepare your voice and just say, hello, so and so and so. You know, I was just calling to care about you and to share. No, you didn't want to talk to them. You didn't want to talk to them at all. But the Bible says, when people are hirelings and they are not shepherds, whose own the sheep are not, that means they don't feel a sense of ownership or any personal connection to the sheep. Do you see? It says, they see the wolf coming and they leave the sheep. That means they care for the sheep to the point where it does not cost them anything, or where there's no inconvenience, which doesn't put their lives at risk, doesn't put them in any difficult situation. As far as it doesn't, they will. But if there's any danger of losing anything, losing sleep, losing gas, losing time, losing what?
Energy.
You know, getting tired. They think about where you live and they say, hey. Yeah. The traffic. Yeah. You say, how do I get to your place? They say, oh, you take the 405 and you come down. You think of LAX 405. Are there no other numbers? Is there no other way of coming to your house? Yes, there is helicopter. Do you see? It's because the sheep are not his own. If you perish, you perish. I don't really care about you. You're just someone I know and meet in church and that's it. I don't really have any interest in you. If you don't make it to heaven, too bad. That's it. That's a hireling's attitude. And he says, when he sees the wolf coming, he leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Which means this thing that the hireling is doing is exactly what the good shepherd will not do. The good shepherd will never leave the sheep for the wolf to catch them. Yeah, sometimes the wolf is some guy. Yes. And sometimes when you're visiting the sheep, it's like the sheep wants you to leave soon because they're expecting a visit from the wolf. You get it? Yeah. And a good shepherd can see that this wolf, he's too much for my sheep. It's too much. My sheep doesn't know how to say no to the sheep. To this. Yeah. Once I was with a pastor, one of the bishops, and he had this church member who had this boyfriend who was always, you know, different things. Every time he comes into her life, he introduces chaos, confusion, so much. I was with him when he picked up the phone. He made the girl call the wolf. And the wolf answered with a wolfish tone and answered. And then instead of the girl's voice, she put the bishop on there. And I heard the bishop addressing, hello? He said, this is Bishop so and so. You know, and then the boyfriend started to, I tell you. And then he gave the person a warning. I want you to know that this person is my church member. She's trying very hard to serve the Lord. And it seems you are an obstruction. Many times I've asked her to come with you to church. You seem to have no interest in the Lord. And you are frustrating her Christian life. So from today, I'm giving you a warning. Yes. Said, do not call her ever again. I tell you. The wolf was just trembling. Yes. And the bishop warned him, do not call this girl again. Leave her alone. And if I see you and I'll hear that you are still in her life, I'll come personally after you. Aish. That was it. From that point on, that was it. Yes. Good shepherd. Good shepherd. Good shepherd. Yeah. And guess what mind the wolf is going to have about him? That church, huh, all the pastors are sleeping with the girls. That's where some of those accusations come from. Do you see? But the good shepherd does not mind having that reputation. That's what you lay down your life for the sheep. That's what it is. So I don't care what they say about me. I don't care what they end up thinking about me. I'll fight for the sheep. That's a good shepherd. Yeah, that's the good shepherd. Sometimes they are waiting. You've come. They are waiting for you to go so they can get it on. You know what I mean? Or you don't get it? It's Sunday afternoon, I can explain. Yeah. And a good shepherd refuses to go. I'm not leaving. Today is not happening. Today is not World Fornication Day. It's not happening. Yeah. Yeah. Even if it is World Fornication Day. Yes, it's not happening. Today it will be postponed. It's not going to happen. Can't continue to always make my sheep feel bad. Always make my sheep have 2 steps forward, 3 steps backwards. 2 steps forward, 3 steps backward. 2 steps forward, 3 steps backward. So the whole movement of the person is actually retrogression. Because every time they try to get serious with the Lord, you show up and you start to frustrate them. Good shepherd. How many want to be like Jesus? Want to be like Jesus? Yes. And it will earn you some bad rap. People will start to say all kinds of things about you. People will call you names. They will say, is that your sister or something? Is she there? Yeah. Or they'll mock you. Yes, you go to that church. Are you a sheep or shepherd or sheepsess? Which one are you? They start to make a mockery of all these things. And yet they don't have any plan for you. They just have a plan to blow up your life like a landmine. You also have this landmine. You see some people, they have this landmine and they won't even talk about it. Yeah. And they are protecting it and hiding it. This woman took that thing to her house. I think I need to find that article and share it with you. She took the landmine into her house. I tell you, her whole house would have just... And she thought she had found something, a treasure. An antique something that would be worth. You know how people find something, they think, maybe this one is from a piece from the Titanic. It must be worth something. This is my doorway into millionaireship. Making plans already to quit your job. You don't know that it's a landmine. You need someone who has an eye for mines to tell you that that thing you're holding is going to blow up in your face. Yeah, you'll soon have no face because of what you're courting, because of what you're nursing, because of what you're nurturing around you. You will soon be without it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And sometimes that'll be the end. They will block you. They won't pick your calls. But remember, a good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So you may lose a friend. They may not answer your calls again. Yes. They may not mind you because you told them the truth. Yeah. There are some people like that. They'll start avoiding you because you told them the truth. Because you loved them enough to tell them the truth. That's it. They will never tell you anything again. They will never tell you anything important. They will never tell you any of those things. And you'll be branded as someone who shouldn't be related with. And yet you were the good person. You were the blessing that God sent into their lives. And they rejected it. It is only years later, after things have been destroyed and messed up, that they start to see that was a savior that God sent into my life. Hallelujah. You're a savior for someone. God is sending you into someone's life to save them and to be a blessing to them. Are you understanding me? Amen. So number one is good shepherd. Number two is a great shepherd. You know, when someone is great at something means they are better than good. They are skilled. Do you see? So the difference between good and great is more knowledge, skills, expertise, experience. Do you get it? So that's the second goal that you must have, which is that you become a great shepherd. Not just a good shepherd. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. But you want to go beyond good to great. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. And Hebrews 13 and verse 20, the Bible says, now the peace of God that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Hallelujah. That great shepherd of the sheep. Right? And then the last one is, the last goal is that you become a chief shepherd. You become a chief shepherd. A chief shepherd. Hallelujah. And when you become a chief shepherd, you see chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. It says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Hallelujah. A chief shepherd. You become a chief shepherd when you have other under shepherds under you. Are you getting it? You become a chief shepherd when you have other shepherds training under you. That means you have become a shepherd, maybe a pastor or maybe some leader of sorts who is training and developing other leaders. Then you have become a chief shepherd. Hallelujah. And Jesus is our chief shepherd. And the Bible says that when we have done this well, when he appears, he will give us a crown of glory that doesn't fade. Hallelujah. So I want you to aim not only at being a good shepherd, but to become a great shepherd. And then to go from being a great shepherd to being what? A chief shepherd. Hallelujah. One day you should have a church. One day you should have a center. One day you should have a group that looks up to you. And out of the group, you should show us which people you have also raised who are doing what you are doing. Do you understand? They would have become the shepherds. When we come and visit you, you would tell us, these are my shepherds. Hallelujah. And you would be their chief shepherd. Can I have an amen? You would be their chief shepherd. And you would have trained them. And they will also be doing the work of the shepherd. And that's how the work of God advances. This is the plan God has for the church. And he says, if you love me, do it. Amen. Amen. How many are going to become shepherds for the Lord this year? This year, you're going to say, Lord, make me one of the good shepherds in your house. Stand to your feet and let's pray and bring your service to a close. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Bow your heads, please. Everybody, just bow your heads and pray and say, Lord, please make me not just a shepherd, but at least a good shepherd. And those of you who are shepherds, ask God to make you a great shepherd. And those of you who think you are great shepherds, ask the Lord to make you into a chief shepherd somehow. Everybody lift up your hand to the Lord, right? Lift up only your right hand to the Lord and say, Lord, I am offering myself this afternoon to you to join your shepherds, to join the people you can count on, to minister to others, to look after others, to help others. In the name of Jesus. Everybody pray. Just keep your right hand up and just pray to the Lord. And just say, Lord, please, please. I'm taking just a few minutes, Lord, just to ask you to do this favor for me. Do me this one favor, which is to make me a shepherd, to make me a good shepherd, to make me a great shepherd, and to make me a chief shepherd. In the name of Jesus. Somehow, Lord, I think you have taught me enough that can be a blessing to someone. I have known enough. I've been around long enough to be a blessing to someone. And I want to be a blessing to anyone that I can be a blessing to. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. And thank you for the blessing. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. thank you for the blessing in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the privilege. Make us good shepherds, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Now, if you're here this afternoon and you know in your heart that you're not saved, that you're not born again, or you don't understand what it means to be born again, or you are saved, but you know in your heart that you have not been serious, you have not followed through with your relationship with the Lord, and you want to fix that, you want to come back to Jesus, you want to start a new and proper walk with God, I want to pray with you if you're here. Or if you're watching us online or you're listening to the podcast, but you know in your heart that you are not saved, I want to pray with you and help you so that you can be in the right place in your heart with God. So you can have right standing with God. So if you're here this afternoon like that, please raise up your right hand and I'll pray for you. I'll just pray with you. Keep your right hand up. I'm going to pray with you. Is there anyone here like that? While every eye is closed, please. While every eye is closed and every head is bowed, is there anyone who wants to give your life to Jesus this afternoon? Or to rededicate your life to Jesus this afternoon? That's God's blessing coming your way this afternoon. Is there anyone like that? Okay. Why don't we say this prayer together, everybody? Let's just say this prayer. Those of you online, you can join us. And those of you listening to the podcast, you can say this prayer with us. Say, Lord Jesus, I know that you died for my sins. And I acknowledge I am a sinner. Say it again. Say, I acknowledge I am a sinner. Say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Let your blood wash me. And let your blood cleanse me. Say, let your blood wash me. And let your blood cleanse me. And make me a child of God. Say, thank you, Jesus. Salvation comes from only you. And Lord, I receive you as my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. Forgive my mistakes. Forgive my sins. Forgive my bad choices, Lord. And count me among your children. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord and bless his name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? Why don't you clap properly then for the Lord? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right. How many are going to be shepherds? Someone can count on you. Raise your hand. Let me see. I want to see how many Jesus can count on this afternoon in this place. God bless you for being interested in somebody. Amen. Remember, the hireling whose own the sheep are not. It will never be said of you. Hallelujah. You will have a care for people. Even though you don't know them from anywhere, you'll be interested in their lives and you'll be a blessing to them. Can I have an amen? All right. Let's have communion right now. Bring the communion round. And we're just having sisters. We are and our lives have just begun. In the Leah, come and start from here. Come and start from here. We are young and will live forever. Sons of God, hear his holy word. Gather around the table of the Lord. Song of love. shout together.
Shout together to the Lord, who has promised our reward, happiness a hundredfold, and will live forever. Sons of God, hear His holy word. Gather round the table of the Lord. Eat His body, drink His blood, and we'll sing a song of love. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Sons of God, hear His holy word.
Gather round the table of the Lord.
Eat His body, drink His blood, and we'll sing a song of love. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Does everyone have their communion? Okay. I'm reading a verse. 1 Corinthians 10:16. It says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Hallelujah. See, the Bible says we, even though we are many, we form one body. Are you getting it? That's why you can't look at another person and say, I don't care about you, and say, you are not my own. Do you see what I'm saying? Because when your toe hurts, your whole body hurts. Do you understand? If you have toe surgery, you may have to stay at home. Isn't it? For how long? 6 weeks. 6 weeks. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with your head, which does most of your job. Isn't it? But the toe is keeping the head at home, because we are members one of another. Hallelujah. So he says, we being many are one bread. Even though we are many different people, different ages, different nationalities, different skin colors, different genders, the Bible says we are still one bread, one body, one bread, one body. We're all part of it. Hallelujah. So what affects you affects me, isn't it? I must be interested in you, because every interest I have in you is an interest in myself. Are you following what I'm saying? That's how the body works. And so today, as we receive communion, I want you to take it with a commitment to the others, commitment to the people of God, and to say that, you know, I may not know your name, I may just have met you, but you're a part of me, and I'm a part of you. And I need this to hold for a blessing to be on me. He says the cup is a cup of blessing, and the blessing comes upon the entire body. Can I have an amen? So let us pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of receiving communion today. We pray in the name of Jesus for your blessing to be upon it indeed. We pray, Lord, that you cause this communion today to birth in our hearts an interest in one another, to the point where when we come to church and we see our other brothers and sisters absent, it will stir up an interest in us to go after them and to find what is wrong with them and to check on them and to see if they are okay. May we not just look only into our own affairs and things that concern us, but grant us to have interest in the others for whom you died also. In the name of Jesus. Bless this church, Lord. Multiply our work, Lord. Bless us. As the shepherds multiply, so let the sheep multiply. Because the sheep are scattered because there is no shepherd. So now that there are shepherds, now that there are people who are interested in the sheep, let the sheep begin to come together in Jesus' name. We pray for your blessing. Anoint this bread and anoint this wine as we eat and drink them in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Now you may take your bread with me and say with me, the body of Jesus Christ. Say one bread. Show it to your neighbor and just say, you and I, we're one bread like this. I need you to be complete. And you need me to be complete. Now eat the bread. Say the body of Jesus Christ and eat it. Now take your wine also. Take your wine also. Say this is a cup of blessing. Say this is a cup of blessing. Yeah, imagine that blessing can be measured like this. This is a cup of blessing. Now think about it. If this was a cup of poison and you drank it, do you think it would change your life? Do you think it would affect you? Can you expect maybe to have some stomach issues this afternoon? Right. Now this is not a cup of poison. This is a cup of blessing. So if you drink it, should you not expect it to affect you? Expect a blessing this afternoon. Say with me, the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus Christ, and drink it. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your blessing. And throughout this week, Lord, as we pray and fast, let every single day bring a new blessing. Let every single day bring a new blessing for 2020. This year, as we purpose in our hearts to show you our love, may we all reap the reward of loving you, which is your presence. You said that if we love you, you will come to us. You will be close to us. May you be close to the people of God. Drive away demons and evil spirits from our environment. Demons who afflict us. Demons who bring discouragement. Demons that bring depression. Demons that bring depression and make us suicidal. In the name of Jesus, we address those voices. The spirits that tell us we are not wanted. The spirits that tell us we are failures. The spirit that tell us that you don't love us. The spirit that tell us we are fake and not real. In the name of Jesus, we shut out all such voices. And we pray, Lord, that you will extend your love to us. As we extend your love to others, so may you cause others to reach out to us. To be a blessing to us. For every need that is in our lives, send someone who will be a help. Send a helper to us. Someone who knows exactly what we need to do. Someone who has the right answers for our questions. Someone who knows where to point us. Someone who has the right connection. Somebody who is important for this stage of life where we are at. We pray, let that person be revealed this week. In the name of Jesus, send every person who is carrying a help we need into our lives, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, expect help this week. Tell them God is going to send an angel your way this week. Expect supernatural help this week. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated.